call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. John, you may begin your conference.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Thanks, everybody, for getting on today. Before we begin, I just want to give some contact information in case there are any follow-up questions. If anybody needs to talk to either one of our speakers or has any follow-up questions afterwards, you can email me at Center for American Progress. My email is JNEUROHR@AmericanProgress.org. So if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to contact me. Speakers on today's call, co-authors of a new report that's titled Unequal Opportunity Lenders, Analyzing Racial Disparities in Lending by Big Banks. The co-authors, Andrew Jacobovics, who is the Associate Director for Housing and Economics here at the Center for American Progress, and Jeff Chapman, who is a consultant for Center for American Progress. They're going to both speak briefly about the report, and then we'll turn it over pretty quickly for a question and answer. The report itself examines 14 major banks and their current subsidiaries that were responsible for originating more than one in every three higher-priced mortgages in the nation at the height of the housing bubble in 2006. I'm going to turn the floor over to Andrew. He's going to talk a little about the report. Jeff will talk some about the report, and then, like I said, we'll turn it over for question and answer after that. So, Andrew, the floor is yours.
Thanks, John. So, as John mentioned, we looked at lending practices by the 14 major banks. These are the banks that were subject to the stress tests earlier this year, and the rationale for that was really that these are the major institutions that we're ultimately going to be relying on to get us out of the housing crisis. They're responsible for huge numbers of the mortgages that are out there, and wanted to really understand what their lending practices were in terms of the propensity to offer higher cost mortgages to minority borrowers. And so we examined the mortgage practices based on the HMDA data from 2006 at the height of the bubble. And what we found was distressing was that even when you focus explicitly on high-income borrowers, these are borrowers making at least twice the area median income, and when you take those groups by race and by state, they all exceed $100,000 on the median. So these are relatively wealthy individuals, and even so, African-Americans and Hispanics were three times more likely than whites to be offered higher-priced mortgages or to take out higher-priced mortgages at the height of the bubble. And so while the HMDA data itself does not give us all of the necessary criteria to do sort of full underwriting, one theoretically would have hoped that the banks were doing full underwriting at the height of the bubble, although we certainly know that wasn't always the case. Based on the HMDA data to us, it allows us to raise the question but not fully answer it as to whether banks were explicitly engaging in violations of fair lending practices or whether there's simply other legitimate underwriting reasons, and we would love to know what those are, to explain why the gaps persist between African-Americans, Hispanics, and whites. And Jeff will go into a little more detail as to the specific numbers, but their findings raise sort of two policy-related issues. One is that there's certainly questions that get raised based on the 2006 activities that really lead us to argue even further in favor of a separate Consumer Financial Protection Agency, that at the time that these loans were being made based in 2006, the Federal Reserve Bank had oversight authority over consumer financial protection, and there's been a long trend of basically paying good lip service to it, but not actually protecting consumers at the end of the day. And that's in part because of the inherent conflict that exists between consumer financial protection and systemic risk obligations that they have. And to the extent that systemic risk will always take precedence over fair lending, that it's important to provide consumers with an alternative vehicle for ensuring their protection. So that's one policy recommendation that we have. But it also raises another question as to whether the types of disparities that we identified that took place in 2006 are still taking place today as banks are lending with taxpayer dollars. And so Our suggestion and recommendation is that these banks' activities using current lending numbers and looking at their current data, that we examine them carefully for any fair lending violations. And so before they're allowed to pay back the TARP money that they've received, that they be given a green light in terms of their lending practices by the Special Inspector General for TARP. And so the argument in favor of doing that is really that the annual obligations that they have to pay back dividends, they currently have to pay back at 5% interest, and down the road we'll have to start paying at 9%. And so that's a burden on these banks to some degree, and so it's strong incentive to get out from under the government's thumb, as you will. And so by basically saying you can't get out from those fiscal obligations until we're sure that your practices pass fair lending analysis, it really places a burden on them and pressures them to make sure that their practices are compliant with obligations under fair housing law. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to go into a little more detail on the numbers, and then we'll obviously be happy to take any questions that you might have.
Thanks. Before I start throwing some numbers at you, I just wanted to make sort of four points about the data, some background. The first one is just our data source, which Andrew mentioned is the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act data. So this is information that's required to be reported every year by most mortgage lending banks. So we have data on most mortgages originating in the country in 2006. And the second is what higher priced loans mean. So we talk about higher priced loans throughout the report. The Federal Reserve classifies mortgages as higher priced when the difference between the loan's APR and a treasury security of comparable maturity is above 3 percentage points. So these are loans with an APR well above similar financial instruments. Third, the banks that we analyze are very significant in the mortgage market. So they account for 43.9% of all mortgages originating in 2006, and more than one in three of all higher cost loans. We focus specifically and break up more information on the top five banks, and they originated 29% of all higher priced mortgages alone in 2006. So those are very significant banks in the market. And as Andrew said, as we move forward, they're going to be banks that are very significant to move out of the housing crisis. The fourth is just to make clear that we analyze banks lending in 2006, but we, for most of the report, we talk about them as they exist today. So Bank of America, as you know, has acquired Countrywide, and Wells Fargo has acquired Wachovia, and so on. So we look at them as they exist today and combine that information. And then for those top five banks, we break it down into the individual components. Okay, so to get to the data, as Andrew said, we found really significant disparities in higher-priced lending by race. So among all borrowers, about 18% of whites had higher-priced loans in 2006 among these major banks. African-Americans had 41.5%. 41.5% of African-Americans had higher-priced loans. So that's a huge gap. Obviously, Hispanics also had a huge gap compared to whites at 30.9%. So, you know, again, we wanted to look at only high-income borrowers. The Home Mortgage Disclosure Act data doesn't allow us to look at things like loan-to-value ratios, credit scores, and so on. So we're using high-income borrowers as sort of a proxy for looking at the risk of lending to a particular borrower. And even at very high-income borrowers, we found a very distinct racial gap. 10.5% of whites from these banks with very high incomes had high-priced loans compared to 32% of blacks and 29% of Hispanics and only 12% of Asians. So we found this gap existing in across all these banks to different degrees. In some of them, the gap was even more significant. So, for example, in Chase, which includes Washington Mutual, 16.4% of whites had high cost loans compared to 47.5%. So, you know, almost half of African Americans had high cost loans in 2006, which, you know, leads us to the policy concerns and recommendations that Andrew talked about.
All right. I think at this point, we're ready to open it up for any questions that that participants may have.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. At this time, there are no questions.
All right. Well, so I didn't say before, but I should say that the full report is available at our website, which is www.americanprogress.org. The full title is Unequal Opportunity Lenders, Analyzing Racial Disparities in Lending by Big Banks. And again, if there are any questions for follow-up, you can email me at JN, as in Nancy, EUROHR@AmericanProgress.org. And we also recorded the call, so if you're interested in having an MP3 of the call, you can contact us as well for that. Andrew, anything to add? All right. Jeff, anything?
No.
Okay, great. Thanks, everybody, for getting on the call today, have a great rest of the day.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.